Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And Tanya, as you know, one of the biggest conversations that we as realtors have, especially as brokers, we talk a lot about risk management.
Yes.
And a lot about liability.
Yes.
Because in our industry, well, we know that we're just in a litigious society, basically.
It doesn't matter everywhere you go. Yes.
What avenue, what career path you're on. If you own a business, there is probably a good chance that you stand a chance to be sued at some point. Mm-hmm. And so liability is a big topic of conversation. And even at the state level, we have a complete area of risk management.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when we go to state meetings, there are meetings we can go to that just focus on that. It's mm-hmm. such a big topic. And we have to carry E&O insurance, errors and omissions, just to protect us in the what if.
Yes, exactly. And I didn't know this until recent years. I'm going to make myself sound dumb here as a owner broker. But I thought we had to carry E&O insurance, and we do not have to.
Right.
And you and I had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's been a year or two ago, but there are brokerages out there that do not carry E&O insurance because I guess they weigh out what it costs, because insurance is expensive, right?
Sure, sure.
What it costs and what the liability might be at, you know, on their brokerage, possibly.
Right.
So that's just, I lay that foundation because it's important to me to know that I work for a company that has E&O insurance and that my agents have that E&O insurance as well.
Right. I can't imagine doing this business without it. And actually, as a member of a franchise, I am required to carry it.
I remember you saying that.
So it's never been a question whether or not I was going to carry it. So when we had that conversation, it was like, that would be really, I mean, you'd have to have a really high risk tolerance to not carry E&O. I know it's expensive. Every insurance is expensive.
Yes.
But that's why we carry it in case of the what if.
Just in
case. Because it takes one time.
One time.
And normally, just for you all out there listening, it's just like anything else. If someone is going to choose to sue, they're not just going to sue the other party to the transaction. They're going to sue us. They're going to sue everybody. They're going to include everybody that they can possibly include.
Yep.
So we don't have had to have even done anything wrong per se, but we're going to be included. And I remember, Tanya, when I first talk about just, again, I bought my office in 2007. My brokerage changed names because, you know, we needed to end everything with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started with a new name and everything. But I got served within my first, I think it was 2 or 3 months of owning the brokerage.
Wow.
But it was because there was a suit that was pending still from the previous brokerage. And then they found out it had a new owner.
Yeah.
and I got...
They had to name you.
Yeah, they had to name me, which I was able to, thankfully, his E&O insurance was able to represent me and get me dismissed from that and removed because I had no... I had no authority, no monitoring of a situation. I had nothing to do with that previous lawsuit. Got so it. I was able to be removed. But that is not fun.
No.
When, you know, you're being served and you have no idea.
Right.
Because I didn't even know there was a lawsuit against the previous company because that was between the broker and the agent that it was involved. Yeah. So I didn't even know.
Yeah, they didn't have that in your packet of all the documents you got as a new owner, by the way. Oh, gosh. Well, so in today's episode, for all you listeners out there, we're talking about liability in our industry. And I'm sure there's going to be some similarities here that we talk about in other industries that someone listening that's not in real estate could say, I get that. Or, I never thought about that. And we have contracts as well. So, you know, there's a lot of this that is real estate related, but it's also just client related.
Yeah.
And trying to keep your head out of bad waters and getting sued. So,
I think anytime any business out there that is dealing with clients, as you said, this is going to hit home with them just because it's going to come down to the basics. We're going to talk about some basics, and I think it has broad perspective no matter what industry you're in.
Agree. So let's start with one of our biggest things we deal with every day, and it's contracts. Mm-hmm. It's contracts, whether it be the real estate contract with a purchase agreement, whether it be a buyer's agency, a buyer's hiring you to represent them, or a seller is signing a listing packet and they're hiring you to be their listing agent. We deal with legal language every day. When you and I get trained and or we're training, we're training... Let's just say we're training our agents to read the contract, know the contract back and forth and sideways. But we are not attorneys. So when you are sitting with a client, we can't explain legal language to them. So we can paraphrase our paragraphs. The contract's broken down into parts. You know, there's the offer part, the offer price and any concessions and where you're going to close and the closing date. And then there's title parts and there's inspection parts and there's financing parts. All of it, we're used to reading. We read it every day over and over. But when you're presenting it to someone who's never seen that paperwork before, and or let's say they bought a house from you 5 years ago, well, our contract's changed 12 times since then. So we have different language in there. So we can go through as a realtor, as a broker, and we can explain those paragraphs, but we are not interpreting them lawfully.
Right.
So it's important that anybody and everybody always read a contract that is sitting in front of them, right? It's good nighttime reading. It'll put you right to sleep.
Right, right.
But we have to be careful in our job, whether it be brokering or acting as an agent or training, that we are not acting in a legal or a lawyer perspective. We're not explaining or interpreting law. We are just telling what the contract is about.
Right. Yeah, so our contracts are pre-written by attorneys.
Correct.
So they are written by attorneys at the state level. It's a state contract. Yep. We basically just fill in the blanks. We talk to our clients about what date do you want to close, how much do you want to offer, all those things, and we're basically just filling in the blanks. There is a spot on the contract for us to, it's called special agreements, and there's a spot for us to write things in. Now, I will tell you how I train and how I was trained, and that is if you can avoid writing anything in that box, do it. Because again, we're not attorneys, so it's not our job to write legalese. So we try not to write anything in there. If there are things that need to be covered beyond what the contract says, then I was just always trained, be brief, be specific, be concise, and try not to put any legal ease in there.
Right.
I always laugh because I had an agent that worked for me that I did not train. She'd been in the business a little longer than me. And I would get her contracts, and under special agreements, they would be, it would be full of additional things, as well as written at the side of the page. And I told her so many times, listen, you really need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
You need to stop, you know, is there, because I would read it. And the thing about her was she was so communicative and mm-hmm. she was so careful. She wanted every I dotted, T crossed. She wanted everybody to understand every single term. Mm-hmm. But when I would go back through and read it, I would say, this is covered on page 3.
Right.
Or this is covered on page 6.
Right.
We need to not write in anything if we can help it. And I get that you know, your client base specifically really wants thoroughness, and they were probably sitting there with her dictating what they wanted her to write.
Yeah.
But it just is a bad situation. You do not want to do that. I have sat with attorneys, written contracts with attorneys before, and they want to add in language. Mm-hmm. Now, if they are an attorney, I'm still going to say, if you're not an expert in real estate law, then maybe not.
Right.
But if it's really important to you, then as long as you want to dictate and send it to me in writing what you want me to put on here, then I will do that. But otherwise, I avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, we have to, because it makes us liable if maybe you have rewritten a term in the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you want it to read the way you've written it versus mm-hmm. what it actually says in the contract. Well, then there's a conflict
mm-hmm.
because you can't strike out parts of our contract. You just can't do that. If you want to strike out parts of our contract, you need to go to an attorney and have an attorney prepare the entire contract.
Right.
We just can't do that.
Right.
You know, otherwise it'd be the Wild Wild West and be willy nilly. And I don't like this word and I don't like those mm-hmm. terms. And I, you know, mm-hmm. that's just not the way it goes.
Right.
We've got to leave it up to the lawyers to direct us and write the contracts and us do our part of filling in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
And the special agreements part, you're right, you have to keep that brief and be careful that you're not rewording something that's already in the contract.
Right.
So I wanted to mention a couple of the parts of the contract that we have to really explain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few of these things we're going to give some personal experiences from. But the default clause is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important part of the contract to explain to the clients, refer them back to, make sure you read this later on when we're not together. But essentially, here's what it says. And a default is not having a contingency in the contract for that act. Mm-hmm. So many people get financing. They have a financing contingency. Many people have inspections done. They have an inspection contingency. There are, you know, 5 different ways to have a financing contingency and an inspection contingency. But the point is, you can't just walk away for no good reason. That's called a default.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how much you explain it or that you sit across and look your clients in the eyeballs. Mm-hmm. We have both had lots of clients who have called us just on a Tuesday mm-hmm. and said, I really don't think I want to buy that house.
Mm-hmm.
I found another one. I want to go see this one.
Yeah.
And we have to, whoa, 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 let's go back to, do you remember the default clause, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of our contract and explaining things. Earnest money mm-hmm. is another.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we get to write in if there's going to be earnest money involved
mm-hmm.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
And explaining how you would get your earnest money back. And then if you're on the other side, explaining to the seller, the only way you get this earnest money back is XYZ.
Right.
That's also a very specific conversation that you have to have with whichever party you're representing. Because to be honest, people have all kinds of ideas in their mind
mm-hmm.
of what it means when you get it back, why you get it back,
right?
What's happened to them before, what happened to their grandparents, what happened to their neighbor.
Right.
Everybody's got a version of why you get earnest money back or why you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important conversation to have.
Certainly, certainly. And one that we have to repeat often because, again, we've all had that situation where somebody calls us and says they don't want to perform on the contract. Well, you signed a legal and binding document.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I'm sure we both drive home with our clients. You need to be sure that what you're signing is what you represents what you want.
Right.
And if you call us and say, I want out of this, well, why? What, you know, because there is such a thing as buyer remorse. It happens. And we have to try to work through, is this buyer remorse or is this something deeper? Is there truly a problem? Because if so, we're going to need to figure out how we proceed. And our job is to advise. And we're going to advise in order to hopefully not get sued for non-performance.
Yeah, exactly. And there's all kinds of caveats. We could give 100 examples of the things that have happened to us in practice of people, you know, you explaining it, and I understood everything you just said.
Right.
But the way my ears heard it, that's something different.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Right.
I mean, that just happens. And I've bought things before, like a mattress that they say one thing and to me, and then I read the contract after I've bought it and I'm sleeping on it,
yeah,
have a problem, and the contract says something different than what I thought they said.
Right.
So now what did my ears hear versus what I'm actually reading in the contract? You know, so we can all get caught up in an experience like that. But in real estate, there can be very hard lessons learned.
Yes, lots of repercussions there.
Yes.
Is it time for a break, Tanya?
I believe it is. Let's take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. Buying or selling a home isn't just a transaction. It's a major life moment. But without the right realtor, it can quickly become overwhelming, stressful, and full of unexpected surprises. A lack of expertise or poor communication can mean missed opportunities, lost money, and unnecessary headaches. Reach out to Tanya Murfin at Southwest Missouri Realty to start your home buying or selling journey.
And we're back. And we're talking about liability today. And specifically, we have been discussing contracts and what can happen in a contractual situation if you don't perform on that contract.
Right.
So, Tanya, what else? You know, I guess I'm going to move on from contracts if you're good with that.
Okay.
Well,
inspections is a whole nother thing to talk about in our contracts.
Yeah, it is. And in inspections, I was just having a conversation this morning about us setting expectations. So we get to see inspection reports every day, right? Mm-hmm. We look at them every day. We know what they look like. And when I'm training, I tell my agents, you have to set the expectation all along the way. When it comes to inspections, you need to prep your client that you're going to get an 80-page inspection report.
Sure.
That doesn't mean there are 80 things wrong with the house.
Right.
It just, you know, some of that is CYA for the inspector.
Correct.
So they've got some liability, so they're protecting themselves. Some of it is to prolong the life of your water heater, do XYZ.
Sure.
You know, some of it's just standard language that you see in every inspection.
Yes.
You want to pay attention to, and then you go in to explain, you know, how this inspector does it, whether they put it all up front or it's color-coded, whatever the case may be. That has part of, you know, if you set the expectation of the client, they should not be surprised when they get an 80-page inspection report.
Right, right.
And then it's a little bit less daunting if they know that, oh, I just need to pay attention to the first two or three pages. And then you have to talk about, it's line 163, right? 163. And on our contract, if you check that box, it means you will give the seller the right to fix things. So I see, when it comes to inspections, that's where I see people change their mind more often than not.
Yes.
They've checked the box because when we're explaining it to them, we say, no, whatever's wrong with the house, would you give the seller the opportunity to fix that and not walk away from the contract? And 9 times out of 10, they say, sure. Mm-hmm. That just seems fair.
Right.
But then they get this inspection report and they just say, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, we didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't think I really want to buy this house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in that situation right now.
Oh, okay.
With it just being overwhelming. And it, especially for first-time buyers, it's overwhelming sometimes when you get that report.
Well, and you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And first-time home buyers
have no
idea. That's
why we do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Another point I will make on that is, what you and I see every day is overwhelming for the average buyer, but there's a lot of it that can be managed with getting bids and getting a better understanding of what actually is wrong with that crawl space or what have you. I also want to point out about hiring that inspector. So we're talking about liability. Mm-hmm. As realtors and representing you, the client, we cannot tell you what inspector to use. Mm-hmm. We have to, or we can provide you a huge list. We can tell you to go Google it. We can tell you to call your sister. You have to pick your own inspector because there's mm-hmm. liability upon us if we pick it for you.
Right.
And then heaven forbid something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. I have a little story with that happened to me years back now. And when I made sure in my practice I was providing a list mm-hmm. and they were doing the calling and the scheduling. There was a time and place in our business that there weren't as many inspectors. Mm-hmm. It was a little more lackadaisical,
right.
And we might make a reference and say, we'll use this guy, I always use him. We can't do that Mm-mm. anymore. And it's Mm-mm. been a minute since we've been practicing like that. But mm-hmm. in this case, I gave them the list. They chose their own and somebody knew who this guy was.
Okay.
And I was familiar with him and I'm like, oh, great choice. I know him.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Inspection's done. We ask for repairs. We go for our final walkthrough and did a reinspection.
Okay.
Made sure all the repairs were done to the, you know, the happiness of the buyer. They were right. pleased and they checked everything off. We close mm-hmm. and the house floods. Mm. And this was an unusual house built on a rock slab. And there were no gutters. So okay. you and I both know, and there's been so many horrible things that have happened recently with
yes.
water
yeah.
in our area and in other places in the U.S. that mm-hmm. we know that lots of water can come down over your house in a matter of hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that happened.
Okay.
And the house flooded from underneath because it's sitting on a slab. It flooded in from the wall, the bottom yeah. of the walls.
Right.
And there were no gutters to drive the water away. So as okay. you can imagine, every bit of rain that yeah. hit that house had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Because now it's sitting on a rock, right? Yeah. There's not even ground, like dirt around
yes.
it. Anyway, it turned out very bad. And mm-hmm. they had to start tearing walls down. Well, mm-hmm. then they found mold behind walls. Mm. And behind windows and found mm-hmm. a window repair behind a wall. And so I get a phone call from a very upset buyer that, again, we've closed. Mm-hmm. Why didn't the inspector look behind the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the inspectors cannot look behind the walls, just so you know.
He can't. No.
He doesn't tear out the walls to look
right.
behind them.
Right.
There was nothing suggesting that there was any ongoing issue with the window. Mm-hmm. So that was one issue. But then the whole house had flooded. And, you know, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And the sellers did not acknowledge that they'd ever had any problems.
Okay.
Now, is that possible?
Mm.
I mean, it's possible that it never flooded on them.
Possible. Yeah.
Is it possible that they fixed a window and a wall and never disclosed it? That's possible too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it got heated and I had to tell them, you will need to call an attorney.
Yeah.
This is, you hired the inspector. Mm-hmm. They were very unhappy with him. And, you know, at that point, I could not help them any further. I
right.
certainly couldn't take care of their damage. Again, felt horrible about it, but I'm not covered for that, you know,
right.
and that's not part of our role.
Right.
And
right.
and bad stuff happens to every mm-hmm. homeowner. I promise mm-hmm. you, everybody has a story and would raise their hand and say, you wouldn't believe what happened when
right.
I bought my house. The moral of the story is we have to be careful with our involvement mm-hmm. in inspections mm-hmm. and in any kind of liable situation. And once
right.
it reaches a point that we can no longer do anything, then we have to refer them to an attorney.
Right, right.
And that has happened in other instances with other situations. And, you know, you could give an example of something
sure.
very similar.
And I think that's why, Tanya, anybody that we try not to say, we've learned our lessons, right? We're not going to say, use this inspector. He's the only one I use.
Right.
Use this lender. This,
right.
Because, again, that's liability on us. We have to take a step back. We can make all kinds of recommendations. We can give you three names of lenders and three, you know, all of that. We can give you people we've worked with, but we're not going to say, you should use XYZ.
Right.
And because... well, steering for one, but the other is, you know, there's certainly some liability there that we don't want any part of. You know, Tanya, also sometimes people will say, I'm trying to, let's say there's an inspection situation and they decide they want out of this contract. And I, as a realtor, it's my job to, again, to educate, to advise, that kind of thing. And I've been told before, well, you sound like you're more for the seller than you are for me. Mm-hmm. That is not it at all. Mm-hmm. I am basically trying to keep you from being sued.
Right.
I am trying to help you
maneuver.
Yes. I want you to get whatever it is you want as your outcome, but there are limitations to what I can say and what I can do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to advise you the best that I can. And if you feel like that is working for someone else, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do about that. There are situations that just call for me to be as neutral as I can be and advise the best I can. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah. Brings me to another point to make is documenting everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So as realtors, being dealing with contracts every day and being in a very litigious
society
and just industry.
Yeah.
Because we deal with legal documents every day, we have to document every step of the process. Mm-hmm. And I often tell my agents, if you've talked on the phone about something, so let's say that default clause comes up. Mm-hmm. Be halfway through because they've seen another house that they'd rather buy, then you need to have that conversation and then you need to email them following that conversation and saying, I just want to recap what we talked about, what we discussed. I wanted to copy and paste that part of the contract, those paragraphs of the contract that talk about the default clause so that you can refer to your copy that you've got in your email or at home and read what the repercussions could be.
Right.
We have had numerous things that have come up over the years that some of my really good agents have had a very large paper trail. And they have done just that. They might have had a text conversation, they might have had a verbal conversation. They followed it up with an email, and that email can be sent into the file.
Right.
So that it is documented and it is proof of having that conversation. And I'm not saying we're trying to make sure we prove our client wrong. That is not at all the point that I'm trying to make. It is just that if there's going to be somebody that gets sued in a real estate deal, like you said earlier, everybody gets named. So when everybody gets named, then you, Angie, are going to need to have all of your documentation in place when they send you the subpoena and say, we need all of your records.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And your records are going to be different than maybe what the buyer has kept and what the listing agent has and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But having documentation is huge in any situation with a contract where people question what they signed up for, what they understood it to say, and now they're wanting to change something that you just can't go in and remedy that by just saying, oh, by the way, my client wants to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Again, this is one of those things where I've had some agents in the past, older agents, that they just want to pick up the phone and call their buyer. Well, that's great. But then I need you, like you said, to follow up with an email or something or text. I don't care as long as it's in written format. We can get text records as well.
Yes.
That brings to mind a situation that I was telling you about right before we got started. We have a situation where we have an offer, an accepted contract actually on a house, and the listing agent fired her client. They had some difficulty, communication difficulty. I don't know. It's none of my business. Anyway, they were fired. Yet we still have a legal and binding contract with this client. So she says, you know, if you want to take them over, you want to, you know, work with them as a listing agent, you go right ahead. We'll figure that out, referral or whatever. So my managing broker called the seller because they don't have email. So he called them and he said, here's the situation. I understand you're no longer working with this person, but we do have a legal and binding contract. Okay, yeah, we still want to sell, but we don't want to pay you, nor do we want to pay anyone else to represent us. And I said, I need that in writing. So we got to get their email address. I didn't know at that point we didn't have, they didn't have email. So we have nothing in writing that says, no, I don't want to hire you. No, I don't, you know. Yeah. So we're going to have to go back and follow that up with some text messages to make sure that they understand that as this moves through, we do not represent them and we cannot help them in any way because we are solely representing our buyer in this transaction and hopefully we'll get to closing, but we need to make sure that we've got something in writing so that we can prove that we had that conversation with them and they refused representation.
Oh, yeah. And Angie, that scenario is unusual, right?
Very unusual.
So when we say we've never seen it all, there you go. We've never seen it all.
Right.
But it leads me to the next point that we want to make, which is, are you being helpful or are you being liable?
Right.
And in this situation, you are now in direct conversation and contact with the seller because the listing agent has given you their contact info.
Right.
Call them. We're out. We don't care what you do.
Right.
So now you're having to contact what was their client who you do not represent. You have to walk a line of being very careful what you say to them,
right?
But yet needing information from them,
right?
For your client to buy this house, you've got to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed to move forward.
Right.
So we need to be helpful, but we also have to draw a line at liable. And an example I would give on that is giving, basically not shutting your mouth as an agent. You talk too much and you want to help too much, right? So there's a difference between being helpful and turning into being liable.
Right.
And now you have told your clients, oh, well, this is the way that you repair that, right? I know I'm a realtor and I know all about every crawl space.
Yes.
So here's how you need to approach that, and this is who you need to use, and there's only one way to fix it. And, you know, back up, not your lane, realtor.
Right.
Stay out of that lane.
Right.
You can tell them what you know has happened in the past. You can help them find people.
Find the expert.
Find the expert to get in the crawl space. Find a list of repairs they're willing to ask for and accept if the seller will do those. But there is always a line that a lot of realtors cross by just not shutting up and or just feeling like they can solve all the problems.
Right. Yeah, we have what's called fiduciary responsibility to our clients.
Right.
And that means we have to look out for their welfare. It does not mean that we have to be the expert in all categories.
Right.
So I often tell my agents, stay in your lane. Find an expert.
Yes.
Don't overstep because we are not attorneys. We're not title people. We're not lenders. We're not inspectors. We're not repair people. That's not our lane. So find someone whose lane it is and help make the, we can be a conduit to anyone who can help them.
You bet. And that is really our biggest role.
It is.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure we're doing that. The other thing that I hate to hear from a realtor is, well, what are we going to do? How do I help my clients? They're including them in this. We get so caught up and we really have to be an outside influence. We have to be someone who stays non-attached, non-emotional, because buying a house is an emotional situation.
For sure.
So a lot of times I think realtors get caught up in that and they're including them. I always stop my agents if they say, well, what should we do? Well, we shouldn't do anything. Your clients should do X, Y, Z, and you should advise them this way.
Yeah.
There's no
Very
we or hour or whatever when the realtor is speaking, because we're only a representative, and we don't have a stake in that contract, with the exception of the fiduciary responsibility we have towards whatever party we represent.
Right. And that example you just gave, that happens a lot with the emotions and involved in a transaction, and other agents really taking it to heart that this is a we, and they can't often step outside of themselves and their own thoughts to really make it about the client's interests and the client's answers.
Right.
So stop giving me your feelings, Angie, and call your client and give me their feelings. I want to hear what your seller said. I don't want to hear what you think.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I want to hear what you think.
Oh, sometimes she wants to hear what I have to say.
Well, let's be honest. The role of the realtors is to collaborate together to try to get both parties to agree.
Sure.
Right? That is our role. We're the mediators.
Yes.
So we have to play nice. We want to play nice with the agent on the other side and all parties involved. But it is not a we. It is a we are the facilitator of information. Mm-hmm. Here's what my clients said. Mm-hmm. There are a couple ways we could handle that.
Right.
You get back to your clients and get back to me.
Right.
Right?
Right. Our job is only to present options.
That's right.
And then it's up to the client to decide which option they want to choose.
Right. So tell me this.
Okay.
How do you handle mistakes that you've made in a contract situation, in a representation of whichever party? If you've made a mistake, how do you handle that?
Well, I'm going to own it. I'm going to say, we screwed up. You know, when whether it's me or one of my agents, and I tell them right up front, if you screw up, we're going to pay for it. We're going to make sure we make it right. So if you call me with a situation, I need to know everything about that situation, and we're going to be very transparent and talk to the client about what, you know, what we did, what we didn't do, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But I just think honesty is the best policy. Listen, nobody's infallible.
Right.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We're human. We make mistakes. Sometimes we're rushed. I saw a lot of this happen during that 22-23 timeframe, and we've talked a lot about that. Mm-hmm. We didn't have time to do a lot of things.
Right.
So my talk track was, you know, you should get an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you get an inspection, you might not get this house. I mean, I'm giving you options.
Right.
It's not up to me to decide whether or not you have an inspection.
Right.
It's only up to me to advise you and tell you what's going on in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, you know, there was so much room for fault or mistake during that time because we were so rushed to get things done.
Yeah.
You know, you had an hour to meet with your clients, get an offer written up, get it over to the other agent. I mean, talk about a time when mistakes were prevalent, I'm sure, and there's probably a lot we don't even know about yet because we're not far enough removed. But that makes me nervous when I don't have time. When I write an offer, I want my clients to go away after they signed it. I'm going to review everything again, make sure every I is dotted, T is crossed. I've got the letter with me. I've got all the things I need. And then take a breath and send it on to the party that's going to get it. We didn't have time to do that.
Right.
So we were just writing fast. And no time to review.
Yeah.
No time to really sit back and reflect if there was a better way to do something. We just had to get it done.
Yeah. You're so right. And the mistakes that are made in a contractual situation can be detrimental sometimes.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And we have a lot of grace in this job. I will give compliments and accolades to those agents out there who give grace when a mistake is made.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it's hard to potentially be the one who didn't check the box,
right?
Because we're in charge of writing the contract, and we send it to our client, and they're to review and sign it. Well, if they're not really reviewing it, and they don't know what they're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a mistake, and we forget to check a box. That's on us.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, you know, there is no mistake that is easy to admit.
No.
There just isn't.
No.
But I have had situations in the past where I knew a call needed to be made,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't made right away because they were scared to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is not being transparent. It's not serving your client the best. Does it suck? Yes. Mm-hmm. And is it a gut punch? Yes. But the sooner you deliver that information and get it out of your body and get it to them, then you can move forward. You can't even move forward to even make decisions until you've delivered the bad news.
Right.
And bad news in our world can come with mistakes. It can just come with you didn't get the house. It, you know, we've delivered that news in the last few years a lot with multiple offer situations.
Right.
But I encourage everyone to really get that information out quickly.
Yeah.
And in the most transparent way that you can.
Right. Yes, get it out quickly. Take a breath. I mean, don't do anything.
Sure.
You know, once you receive, or once you, let's say this, once you have realized that a mistake was made and you've made it, you need to first, I think, kind of sit with that and figure out what's the best way to fix it.
Right.
Because if you're going to call me and tell me you made a mistake, I expect you to tell me how we're going to fix this.
Sure, yes.
Or have at least some ideas. So if I have to admit to the other agent that I screwed up and I didn't do something right, then we might collaborate and figure out how to fix that.
Yes.
But I want to come to the table with solutions. I don't want to go to the table with, I made this huge mistake, now what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
I want to have my own solutions figured out. And who knows, one of those might work, or it might be just because I had one of those that somebody else took that idea and ran with it, or we did a hybrid of something. You know, you want to, don't make that phone call when emotion is running high, because you're going to be upset with yourself that you made a mistake. But so take a breath, try to figure out a solution, and then get that out of you, because you don't want to sit and stir with that. And most of the time, it makes it worse when you sit on it for a while.
Oh, absolutely. And you will be better served to call your broker or, you know, call someone who can advise you of what are my options here? What are the best options? I'm just referring to people who sit with it overnight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And or might go a couple of days. I mean, I've had some circumstances in the past that there was information that should have come out on a day, and it could be 5 days later, and they still haven't given the information because they're scared to give it.
Yeah.
That is unacceptable. And again, there's always a solution. And is the solution the deal falls apart? Possibly. Mm-hmm. But there will be a solution to it.
Right.
You just can't stew and sit on it on your own. You've got to seek help.
Yeah.
And whoever that trusted person is that you need to call. And, you know, it could be the lender. Could be, okay, I've got a situation here. We didn't check this box.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the appraisal hasn't been done yet, and we're out of time. I mean, something like that.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Right.
But
right.
You can't fix it now. So what are you going to do? And who do you need to call to really fix that and see what now needs to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say one other thing that you and I deal with, that kind of two points here to make, is you got to be careful what you say to whom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use an example of a divorce situation where you have a client that's getting divorced and you can't take a side.
Right.
They're both your clients. You need to be very careful and not impartial to either party. Make sure all of the information you're giving goes to both parties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another example would be being a dual agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we practice dual agency. Do you?
Yeah.
A lot of our brokerages around here do. Having two agents in the same company on either side of a transaction, there's a lot of liability there if people are not careful with what they say and how they say it.
Right.
And so that is a circumstance that has come up in the past that was, for us, was very ugly.
Yeah.
And you just really have to take a breath.
Right.
And figure out the best way to move forward.
Right. Yeah. So I think, Tanya, in summing this up, basically it comes down to some very basic steps. Always make sure that you are honest and transparent.
Yes.
That you share difficulties, mistakes, whatever the case may be, right away, have solutions ready. But basically, I think the biggest thing here is make sure you have everything in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Document everything.
Yep.
If you don't need it, great. But if you do, you've got it. I mean, I've got some agents that our files are thick with stuff, you know, the cloud is full of our documentation, but I would rather have that than not.
Absolutely.
So I think those are some of the big takeaways. We certainly want to thank you for listening. We appreciate the time that you spend with us. And if someone you know is getting ready to write an offer or is in a contractual situation right now, please share this episode. There might be something that they need to hear.
Yes. And we want to thank Gershman Mortgage for recording with us today. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.